Off the Ball Breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, I'm not projecting. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. Shane Hannan with you through until 5 p.m. this evening. Loads to come between now and then. We'll have a load of reporters out and about at all the days. GAA action and, of course, Leinster versus the Bulls in the URC Grand Final, which takes place at Croke Park from 5 o'clock today as well. We'll have Football Saturday on the way between 3 and 5. Owen Doyle and David Connolly going to join me to discuss all of the week's football talking points. We'll have Tommy Rooney on the line as well at around 25 to 3 or so to look ahead to all of the weekend's GAA action, of course, in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Today we have Roscommon and Cork at Amuir Park in Portlaoise from 4:15, Kerry and versus Meath in Tullamore at the same time. Then this evening, 6:30, Armagh versus Galway, Kingspan, Breffni Park in Dublin versus Derry at Park Essler in Newry from 6:30 as well. A couple of Tailteann Cup quarterfinals, the All-Ireland Hurling preliminary quarterfinals to take place today as well. But it is time for the Saturday panel, and want to bring you news of Europe's wildest motorsports event, because Driftmasters is coming to Mondello Park on June 28th and 29th, where 42 of the world's top drivers will go head-to-head. The weekend will be all about qualifying, grids, grandstands and podium places. There are general admission tickets available for €35 per day, grandstand tickets from €55 per day, and VIP weekend for €175, which includes general admission for the Saturday and the Sunday, VIP grandstand seating with hospitality in the Grand Prix suite, access to the paddock as well. Light refreshments on the Saturday, light bites and refreshments with a free bar on the Sunday as well from 12 to 6. Go to mondellopark.ie for tickets. That's mondellopark.ie for tickets. If someone wants to see international drivers at the top level compete in Ireland, this is the only event in the country to see it. There's also a coach going to and from Naas and Salins to the event. Again, tickets for that on mondellopark.ie. Also keep an eye on Off the Ball social channels, as we'll be giving away tickets to the weekend's events, which are not to be missed. Delighted to have three drifters in studio. I don't think I've ever said that before here and Off the Ball, but we're delighted to have three men in studio who know all about these cars. James Dean, James the Machine Dean, I think we're going to call you, James. Professional drift driver, renowned for your skill. You have been a four-time Formula Drift champion in the US Series, the first and only driver in the series history to achieve that feat. Also, we've won the European Drift Championships in 2018, 2019, 2020. We have Conor Falvey as well, 17 years of age. Also from Cork. I think you're both from Cork, actually.
Yeah.
Cork, good Cork representation in here. Conor began his competitive drifting career at the age of 9 in the Irish Amateur Drift Championship. He's been named Rookie of the Year in the DMEC competition as well. And we have Dave Egan, prominent figure, well-known name in Irish motorsport, best known for his role as the founder of Drift Games, a drifting team and media company based in Ireland. Lads, thank you very much for
great
coming
to be here.
Studio.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
In. Pleasure.
First time in here for all of you?
Yeah, yep. first time here. We're all a little nervous, but we'll get through it.
For the sport you lads take part in, you can't be nervous sitting here, in fairness. Well, you're well used to the media, Dave, in fairness. And that's been
my, you know, I've done a lot more talking the talk than walking the walk in drifting. So that was my way in, starting as a commentator and now on the grid with these guys as well. But it's been a hell of a journey. Yeah, drifting has been, to all of us here, a lifelong ambition of trying to make the sport as publicly known as possible. We now have that success across the world, I think, at this stage. And as I said, he's probably going to be way too humble to say it, James Dean, but he's actually in top five most followed Irish sports people at the moment.
Right.
Ahead of your Brian O'Driscolls and stuff like that. So
in a social media sense, you mean?
Yeah. Social media
sense. Right.
So you know, it's looking at the best of all time. He won't say any of this because he's far too humble. But as I said, it's great to see the success and the shining light that James put on the sport here, allowed me to run events here, build that as a company across the world as well. So it's been an amazing journey so far.
James, will you take some of that praise on board?
Yeah, it's been a long journey. Like, I know Dave, I think, since what, 2000, was it 8? Was that when you started? Or 2010?
2010.
Yeah, 2010. Yeah, so since then, drifting has grown so much, not only in Ireland, but all across the world. And it's still getting to that point where each year it's getting more known, starting to sell out venues all across Europe, same in America. It's just growing and growing and growing. And I've been doing it since I'm 15 years old, and I'm 33 now. So it's been quite a roller coaster journey, but doing it full time. My last normal job was back in 2012. So
job.
We're doing all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, there's going to be some people listening. Obviously, a lot of people listening will be familiar with drifting and what drifting is. I think we have a short video here. Maybe we'll play in the background as B-roll as well. Maybe play a minute of it. This is from Mondello Park. Maybe in the last couple of years. Just to give people watching on YouTube an idea of what it is. But Conor, you might explain to us, what is drifting for anyone listening who is going, what are we talking about here? What is drifting?
Yeah, drifting is a very strange one to explain to people. It's always very confusing because it's not a race. Like, it's more like ballroom dancing rather than a race. It's kind of, so the judges will set out a track and they have clipping points and a line to follow. And first you do a qualifying session. So you have two laps to do the best run you can do. So you have to do your best laps. It's scored out of 100. And then you're gridded from number one being the best run to 32 being the, I wouldn't say the worst because 32 runs are always good. Mm-hmm. But then you're put into battles, which is one car goes against the next. So the guy in front has to do his qualifying run again and just try to do the best run he can. And then the guy behind has to follow that and get as close as he can and mimic the guy in front. So it's definitely not easy, but it's a great sense of achievement when you win a battle because you have to do your perfect qualifying run and then follow that up with a perfect chase run. And then that goes through a knockout stages of top 32, top 16, top 8, top 4, and then the finals and third and fourth playoff.
Ballroom dancing is a good way of describing it, Dave, isn't it? Because you even look at that video there and you see there the margin for error seems very minuscule.
Yeah, I think it's a very unique motorsport for a simple reason is that if you take all the most exciting elements from every motorsport you watch, if you like Formula One, you like speed, but you also like proximity between two cars, cars getting up close. That's always happening in drifting. There is no time it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So take all those crashes and tire smoke and everything you love about rallying or Formula One, put them all in one sport and combine it into 50-second runs. That's essentially what it is. It's like the BMX or skateboarding freestyle of motorsport. However, the cars now, a lot of people think, oh, they're skidding around. I've always said to people that the difference between, you know, doing donuts or whatever and professional drifting is like two guys having a row outside a pub compared to the UFC. It's, you know, it's very, very professional. The cars are pretty much the fastest stock chassis cars in the world. 1,000 horsepower. I think all three of us here have 1,000 or more horsepower in our cars. And the reason that you can actually go fast in the cars is because you put so much grip into the back of the car. So we actually run the same, almost like drag tires on the back of the car. So a lot of people think it's a lot of burning rubber and smoke, but you're actually trying to go as fast as possible to get away from your opponent. And the best part of it is it's head to head. So it's two drivers go in and one wins and one goes home. And that's the whole point. And because everyone got so good at this about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, people like James made it all look so easy. They started putting concrete walls at the edge of every single circuit. What? So the idea is to take the perfect run, is to take the paint off your bumper without cracking your bumper. And that can be happening at over 60, 70 miles an hour. So it's a very technical sport, very, very difficult. And the great thing is you can choose different chassis, you can choose different cars to use different engines. So instead of it being like, you know, Formula One, where most cars are the same if they're not a different color, this is like you can choose. I mean, James drives a Ford Mustang. I drive a Toyota Supra. Connor drives a Nissan Silvia. And we have everything from Volvos to Ferraris in this that can be made into drift cars. So if you're a car fan, it's like a rolling car show. It's the best of rallying Formula One and all of that put together. And it's a lot of fun and a lot of characters. We have everybody from school children to to members of the UAE royal family to, you know, different people from all over the world. It's a niche that grabs them in. And because the accessibility is, you know, bravery and some budget. That's pretty much it. You can progress quite quickly in the sport.
Maybe this is a bad example, James, but like I'm thinking of Rhys McLennan in the Olympics when he was on the pommel horse and, you know, he was favoured to win the gold medal and he ultimately, you get one chance on the pommel horse in the final to go and do it. Is it kind of similar where you have the one run where you cannot make the mistake or you have backup
so
chances?
I feel like the level of pressure in professional drifting is one of the highest out of any motorsports. Like we have, luckily, you know, over the years I've managed to meet so many different people from Max Verstappen to WRC drivers, NASCAR drivers, everyone like that. And they've all actually experienced drifting. But one good example is Kalle Rovanperä, who's two-time WRC champion in rallying. And he competes in drifting too. He absolutely loves it. And he said that the pressure he feels when he's at the start line in a pro drift car, you know, when you have a 30-second run, if you make one mistake in that 30 seconds, you are out. You might not qualify. If it's later on in the battles, if you make one mistake there, you're going home early. So to progress, to be the best from the start of the event to the end of the event and manage to win, you can't make any mistakes. So there's a lot of pressure in between each battle. You might be waiting for sometimes a couple of hours to an hour. It depends where you are in the bracket. And it's just like you have highs, lows, highs, lows. So your adrenaline is, you're pumping. Next thing you have time to wait and you're anxiously waiting for your next battle. And then you're pumping again. So it's really mentally exhausting. But the reward that you get when you pull something off is unbelievable.
it's amazing pressure. Connor, we were saying before we started, so you're 17.
Yeah, 17.
So you're doing the Leaving Cert next year.
Yeah.
And you just finished 5th year.
Just finished 5th year.
I presume you're having a much different summer. Like you're in Mondello Park in a couple of weeks. You're having a much different summer than a lot of your classmates, presumably.
Yeah, it's very different, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Like me and my family worked towards this since I'm very young. Like we put everything into it and it's a big commitment, but we definitely wouldn't change it. It's great fun and we get to spend all over Europe with our friends for the year, so we wouldn't really change it.
What's more pressure, drifting or prepping for the Leaving Cert next year?
I would say I put more pressure on myself for drifting, but my mum puts more pressure on me for school. So it's a balancing act.
Yeah. So we were chatting before as well. You're like, so you're good at the business, good at the maths.
Yeah.
And maybe engineering is the
yeah, that would be the plan B, you could say. My aim is to go drifting forever, but that might not be realistic. So we have to have a backup plan. So I'll aim to go to college and try do well enough in school and have the drifting on the side for a while anyway.
Your dad was Tomás?
Yeah, Tomás.
So your family is fairly steeped in cars anyway?
Yeah, my dad was always into cars and he started drifting when I was a baby. So I've literally been around it my whole life. And when I turned 13 then, I went competitively drifting. And in my first championship, I came third in the semi-pro class. So we kind of decided like that we might have a cut off it. So we built a better car, everything. And it just all took off from there. Then we had a chat with Dave Egan and he gave us the amazing opportunity to go to Driftmasters and we've been living the dream ever since then.
It'd be very easy, Dave, to kind of sit behind the microphone and enjoy that life and do the very successful YouTube channel that you've been running as well. But you've decided to get behind the wheel,
yeah.
which is a brave move, but in fairness to you, hats off, because the alternative would have been the easier option, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's a little difficult, more difficult at 40 than 17. So, yeah, I've been behind the scenes of the sport for a very long time. So we've run championships all over the world. Started our company 10 years ago with a Sprinter van and €20,000. And now we've built it into a big business that works many events. I think we've done over 150 in 40 countries now. But after achieving quite a lot of things, we got to a point where Driftmasters went to the National Stadium in Poland. It sold out 50,000 people. It was, you know, a track that was tarmacked for just the weekend and torn up. And I thought at that point that was as far as I could go with the commentary side of it. And that's very much how I know James and I know everybody in it. I came in that side on the media, created our own YouTube channel, created a bit of popularity. Fortunately, had our whole business burned down about a year and a half ago in a fire. Rebuilt it all in 8 months again. So, you know, challenge and crisis sort of became the norm. So then the stupid decision was I'd already sponsored Connor beside me here because I was friends with Connor's dad and we just saw the talent he had, you know, and I watched the very much it ties in with James and the progression that James has had from a young driver to the opportunities and the things he's done. And I think Connor had a little bit of that spark. So we said, you know, if we bring him into the team, I could also be on the team as, you know, the oldest rookie, I think, in the history of drifting and come off the back of saying, you know, hedge my bets with a very talented young driver that we could sort of, every time I crash and blow something up, he can keep the content moving. So I'm also just a big fan of Connor and his family and how they put so much into the sport. So it was very much, you know, me wanting to go in and compete myself against the best in the world, which is very much like, as I said, like if I do the UFC rest of it, like Dana White, just getting in the octagon at this stage and saying, I'll give it a go. But we're enjoying the experience. And then Connor, obviously watching him grow through the team as well has been amazing. And with a role model like James to follow, it's sort of, you know, James has really been the pioneer for Irish drivers of actually making it a career and making it something bigger than just a hobby. So definitely amazing.
You've just seen Connor win Rookie of the Year. So is that the award you're going for then?
I'll be honest, if I survive it, I'll be pretty happy with it. Yeah. It's a scary place to be when you're in it. You know, it's easy. You know, it's like I said, it's easy when you're a commentator to, and we watch every sport. The commentator's like, why didn't he pass there? And what's he doing there? And he's been, and then you put them out in the field. It'll be a different story. So that's very much what I'm feeling this year. It is a very difficult sport, very scary on a pretty big hit in Finland with the wall. And you learn, you know, a lot about yourself doing it and how you can manage the pressure. And guys like James and a lot of the other Irish guys make it look so easy when you watch it from the outside. But that's, I suppose, any good sportsman makes something look good, easy until you try it yourself.
Castleton Roach is where you're from, yep. James. So what's in the water in Cork? Because we have Connor here as well, of course, from Cork. And you look at the list of Irish sports people. And I was just looking up your, like, you're 575,000 followers on Instagram, which is incredible. And like, just kind of highlights the heights you've reached in the sport. But you look at the likes of Roy Keane and Sonia O'Sullivan and the O'Donovan brothers and, you know, Rena Buckley. There's so many Cork sports people. What's in the water in Cork that creates all these sports people?
Like, even our neighbours, so the Shanahans, two brothers, that they live a mile away from where I grew up, and they're at the top end of the sport as well, both in Formula Drift and Drift Masters. And I feel like just a group of people, like when I was growing up, when I was young, it was my older brother Mike was competing in drifting, and he won the first ever Irish Drift event back in 2002. And the championship was ran by McNamara's back then, in also from Cork. So there were so many drivers from Cork, so many people involved. And I feel like we just all kind of pushed each other because we're friends, you know, outside of the racetrack. And when the helmet goes on, you want to beat your friend. And everyone was just getting better and better and better. And then when the Shanahans were growing up, Jack was watching what we were doing, myself and my brother Mike. And then he got involved. He started when he was 12 years old. I was teaching him the ropes back when he was starting. And a competitive edge, like they used to be in hot rods and stock cars and all of that kind of stuff before that. And they just, everyone wants to win. You know, you want to beat your friend. You want to push harder. You want to, you'll figure out a way. So I don't know what it is with Cork, but there's been quite a lot of success there. And with Connor Falvey as well coming up through the ranks, it's amazing to see his progress. And we were talking about it coming up in the car this morning, that I feel like he has many exciting years ahead of him.
Do you look up to the likes of James?
Oh, definitely, 100%. It's the reason that I work so hard. When you see people like James and the Shannons and stuff, people that you would know locally, and to see that they can make a living out of this and that they're this good, is really makes you work hard to think that you could be like them.
Yeah, Conor and Jack Shannon, of course, and Dwayne McKeever is another one of the Irish drivers at the top level as well, so it's incredible to see it. We have to take a quick ad break here, lads, for news. Loads still to get into after the 2 o'clock news. We're discussing the Drift Masters, of course. It's coming to Mondello Park in a couple of weeks, as I said, the 28th and 29th of June. It's one of Europe's wildest motorsports events. Mondellopark.ie for tickets to that one as well. But we have James Dean, Conor Falvey and Dave Egan in studio. Loads still to come on that panel here on Off the Ball Saturday on Newstalk. Stay with us. Hey, welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on Newstalk. Shane Hannan with you through until 5 p.m. today on the show. Loads to come between now and then. 3 to 5, we'll have Football Saturday with Owen Doyle and David Connolly joining myself to discuss all of the week's football talking points. We'll have reporters out and about at all of the GAA grounds, and Tommy Rooney's going to join us in around about half an hour's time or so to look ahead to the weekend's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship games. 4 games this evening and 4 games tomorrow as well. To look forward to, and Tottenham Cup fixtures as well. But it is the Saturday panel because Europe's wildest motorsports event, Drift Masters, is coming to Mondello Park in a couple of weeks' time, June 28th and 29th, where 42 of the world's top drivers will go head-to-head. The weekend is all about qualifying, grids, grandstands and podium places. As I said earlier, mondellopark.ie for tickets. There are general admission tickets available for €35 per day, grandstand tickets from €55 per day, and VIP weekend for €175. That includes general admission both days, VIP grandstand seating with hospitality in the Grand Prix suite, access to the paddock as well, and refreshments on the couple of days as well. A free bar on Sunday between 12 and 6. If someone wants to see international drivers at the top level compete in Ireland, this is the only event in the country to see it. There's also a coach going to and from Nace and Salins to the event. Tickets again for that on mondellopark.ie, and keep an eye on the Off the Ball social channels. The next few days we'll be giving away tickets to the weekend's events, which are not to be missed. We have in studio James the Machine Dean, one of the top drivers in the world when it comes to drifting. We have Conor Falvey, it's just 17 years of age, one of our brightest young stars and a name to watch for the present and for the future, has to be said as well, and a well-known figure in the sport as well. Dave Egan, who is behind the wheel at the moment, but also best known for his role as the founder of Drift Games, a drifting team and media company based in Ireland as well. Dave, you were just saying in the ad break there as well, like, you can choose any type of car, and if James wanted to get in a car of 2,000 horsepower, he could, which makes this all the more interesting as well. So the driver has the decision, essentially.
Yeah, either has the decision on preference, or the sponsorships, or whatever way it may come. But yeah, I've driven a lot of weird cars in the past. I've always liked to be a bit different. It's easier to be different than sometimes be not as good. So at least you get some attention. I've had Corvettes, Mustangs, 86 Corollas. I've had a lot of different cars. I have a 2023 Supra now at the moment. But in many ways, these cars are very different than what you would see on the street. So my car, I think, has the chassis legs and the windscreen from a 2023 Supra. Everything else is replaced to be lighter, stronger, faster. The drivetrains of the cars are completely upgraded. The engines are pushed to huge limits, sequential gearboxes. And a lot of people will probably not be aware that a lot of power is needed, as I said before, because you're running a lot of grip. So we run 285 semi-slick tires on the back of these cars, which are, you know, you could put your thumb through the tire. There's that much grip on the tire. So, and they last roughly about a minute and a half for a set of tires. So basically, we will run a full tank of fuel in probably 3 or 4 laps, and we will run
Really?
A set of tires will last two laps if you're lucky. They'll be very, very towards the edge of it, of two laps. And these are 240, 50 second laps.
That's incredible. It's amazing. Jesus, the stats and the figures involved. Like James, the money is one thing, because even from speaking to Alex Dunn, I've spoken to him before different times, even down at Mondello Park, James Rowe as well, who's involved in the indie sport as well over there in America. And money is a crucial thing. Especially when you're up and coming, I suppose, like Connor as well, and you're trying to get sponsors on board. You're lucky you've been rubbing shoulders with the Ford family, no less. So you've got to that stage in your career now where not the hard work is done, but financially speaking, you're at a footing now where you could only have dreamed of being maybe 10, 12 years ago, say.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Like when I started, you know, I started with a 200 euro Ford Sierra, so a very basic, simple car. Then slowly built it up, slowly built like little product sponsors along the way to you know, cover some of the costs, like tires and things like that. And we were getting some good success on track, but you know, it takes, like, I'm drifting 18 years now, and it took a long time to get to the point of driving for Ford in the USA over the last, this is my third season driving with Ford in a Ford Mustang.
Right.
So they're brand new cars every year. And this year is the first year that we have managed to bring Ford as a manufacturer to support us in Driftmasters in the European Championship. So that to me is a really proud moment. So we built a brand new 2025 Ford Mustang in my own workshop back in Cork with myself and my team, Michael, Mikey, Chris, my brothers and sisters, you know, my parents, everyone involved helping out wherever we could. So to get to that level, and I'm very lucky to have, you know, some of my best friends and family members working for me full time, and this is a full on, you know, business, job, career. It's not easy, you know what I mean? You're only as good as your last race almost sometimes, so you need to keep on performing. It's high levels of pressure, as I mentioned earlier, but it's living my absolute childhood dream. Like when I was a kid, I had a dream, but I never thought I would get this far. So I'm very lucky, very proud of what we've managed to achieve. And yeah, just want to keep on pushing it and seeing where this sport grows and gets to, because, you know, it's at the point where it's selling out the final round of the Driftmasters European Championship in Poland. There's over 50,000 fans over the last 2 years, and like that's in September, and they already have 20,000 seats sold, and it's wild. And obviously Mondello Park is one of the biggest motorsport events you'll ever see in Ireland, and the atmosphere and the whole buzz of the weekend, you know, it's a full-on family show. It's amazing, and I love driving back at home.
The family thing, there are certain sports where, you know, family links seem to get people involved. Horse racing is one where I think of as well, where a lot of people, you know, if their parents did it or uncles or whatever did it. So your dad and your uncle were rallying legends, I suppose, in the 80s in this country. And you mentioned your brother Mike, I think, as well, who would have,
yeah,
I'm sure, been a hero of yours as well. When it was 2003, he was one of Ireland's first.
Yeah, to the September 2002, he won the first ever drift event in Ireland. I was there as a 10-year-old kid, just supporting my brother and loving motorsport. And as soon as I saw drifting, I was like, right, rallying out the window, everything else out the window. This is what I want to do. And got obsessed with it, playing it on, you know, PlayStation games and things like that, and started driving. Started competing when I was 15. Yeah, so it's unreal, but I had a great family support system to get into motorsport. Like, as I said, my dad used to build rally cars along with my uncles, and they have some even crazier stories than we have about their days back when they were competing. And yeah, it was just drifting was it for me, and all in, and chased a dream.
The rest was history. Connor, am I right in saying, by 13 years of age, you had been on the Grand Tour with Richard Hammond on Amazon TV, is that correct?
That was Connor Shanahan.
That's Connor Shanahan, is the other Connor. But like, you look at some of these, I think, and Connor had did that by the age of maybe 13 as well. But like, at the age of 12, 13, so this is what, 5 years ago now for you, Connor. Like, at what point does it become, not an addiction, but at what point did you realise, well, this is exactly, you know, like James said, this is exactly what I want to do for the foreseeable?
I always had a dream of wanting to do it, but once I started to see improvement, and once I came third in that championship, and I said to myself that I actually have to work hard for this, because this is where it separates, do I want to stay at this level forever or do I want to push on and become better and better myself? And I was always told if you lose the hunger, you lose everything. So you just have to give it everything all the time.
Is the money thing a difficult thing to try and get sponsorship, especially at a young age? You know, is it?
It's definitely difficult. But as I said, we put a big commitment into it, and we were lucky enough to get sponsored by Dave and Drift Games, of course. So that takes a huge pressure off. It's still by no means cheap, but it's definitely easier, and it's a great opportunity, as I said. And without Dave and them, it wouldn't be possible, to be honest. So without their support and backing and all the kind words and confidence, it all means a lot, to be honest. So without the support of my family and Dave and everyone, I'd just still be in school doing nothing.
Doing nothing.
You'd be flying in business and maths and all the rest. Dave, I was looking at some of the videos of all the different courses. Like, you have the, I'll butcher the Spanish, but Circuito del Jarama in Madrid.
Yep.
The scenes in Poland as well, just incredible. And some of the tracks are very, very different. There's like kind of an industrial feel to some of them.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. You know, you have very custom-made circuits. Mm. Like Finland, the event we just did was in the middle of a theme park. So there was roller coasters going over the grandstand.
Which looks great on
It looks
camera.
Amazing. Then you've got a full custom-built track in a stadium. You've got the fastest, most dangerous layout, I think, in the world, which is the Bekarnecki in Riga, which is also a rallycross circuit. But actually, to be honest, one of the best circuits we have is in Ireland for drifting. And that's why a lot of these guys are so good. It's never been designed for that, but whatever way it came along, Mondello Park just is a really good track because it's very fast entry. You've got your extra walls that you run. Everyone loves a wall run when you're putting a car close to a wall. And you also have this sort of amphitheater-like style corner where they build grandstands. So it's almost like a stadium where you come into that stadium at 160 kilometers an hour or whatever, maybe sideways. So it's a grand entrance for every driver that's coming in. It's a big hill. It's off camber. And of course, Ireland has its weather, as you know. So throughout a weekend, it can change 15 times, which really mixes up the order. And a lot of drivers say that it's a tough place to come because they've set the cars up. It's scorching. You're in a pair of shorts. And then next thing, boom, it's all raining. So it's been a real separator. Actually, would you believe, up until very recently, there was almost a 15-year time where no international driver had ever beaten an Irish driver in Ireland.
Right.
Which was then beaten by Peter Wiencek, a Polish driver who went on to win the championship that year. So it's been a kind of a stronghold for the Irish. So if you're looking for a place to go to support the best Irish drivers, but we've got the Japanese champion who just shipped his car in a container, which is actually not even fully acknowledged yet. But there's lots of different things happening behind the scenes because people want to come to Mondello Park from all over the world to compete in this event because it's the home of Irish drifting. Mm. And it's got a little bit of an aura about it, like some of the famous stadiums that you'll see in other sports. So it's been a really, really amazing journey to see that now. We used to beg, back when I was a promoter of these events, any driver from abroad to come to Ireland, you know, and drive. We're in an island. It's a lot of shipping and flying. Now they are begging us to get a spot on the grid to come and take on the likes of James and Connor because they know this is where the proving ground is.
And is it the case then, James, that you really, obviously you want to win any of the events, whether it's in Poland or Latvia or wherever, but when it comes to Mondello Park, it's probably in the calendar where you circle it a little bit stronger?
Yeah. It's driving at home is unbelievable for me because I guess I was so focused in recent years competing in the Middle East and Europe and the US, and I'd be doing one, maybe two events in Ireland each year. But when Driftmasters comes to town, you know, you have all your family and friends there and so many, you know, Irish fan base that support us when we compete internationally. You just want to put on the best show possible for them, and you're battling the best guys from all around the world on your home turf, and you want to do everything you can to, you know, defend it. So last year we got the win there, and hopefully this year in a brand new car we'll be pushing hard trying to aim for top spot. But it's no easy feat. Like, every single year the sport is getting more competitive, more guys have figured it out. I feel like back 5-6 years ago I was maybe ahead of the curve in understanding how you win a battle and be consistent while doing it. And everyone else is after catching up. So it's way more challenging, which means the show is way better for the fans that are watching. And I'm very excited about it. And it's crazy to think, because when I was growing up, it was like Japan, right? Japan is where drifting started in the late 80s, early 90s. And that's where the best in the world were known from. And then it was like kind of like a bit of America. It was like the highlight. And now, like, many international people consider Ireland as like this mecca for drifting, and it's amazing to see the drivers that it has produced, as you said, the Shanahans, Dwayne McKeever,
yeah,
Everyone that's been coming up. There's been so many other guys over the years too, like Darren McNamara, who competed in the US, Eric O'Sullivan, Dean Kearney. Like, so many Irish drivers have almost had a dream to, okay, let's drive internationally and let's put our name out there. And it worked.
Does it get to the point now where the likes of Conor Falvey here coming through? Because obviously, I'm sure he's coming to you for advice and you know, little bits of wisdom here and there. But is he getting too good now to be giving him advice? Does he get to the point now where he's climbing up the leaderboard towards you so closely that it's like, well, I better just roll back on telling them things here?
Yeah, it reminds me of years ago when I was helping Jack Shanahan and he was getting really good. And you guys did a Drift Games, a documentary about heroes for the weekend. And it was... Jack was after winning a big event in Ireland, and one of the other drivers in Ireland was like, yeah, James, maybe you should keep some things to yourself, because he beat me in the finals.
Yeah, well, that's fair
but,
enough.
But honestly, I always, and if anyone asks me about something, I'll always try to advise as best I can. There's no real secrets, you know what I mean? It's like, what happens in that moment? How are you feeling mentally? Are you prepared to do it right now, you know, when it counts? Everyone can have it all figured out in the pits, but you need to put it together in those 2 30-second runs in a battle.
Conor, what's going through your head when you're in the car and you're involved in a battle, particularly, you know, when it's going down to the wire and you're up against someone who you know is a really good driver? Like, are you completely in the zone? Are you thinking of anything else? Like, you're not sitting there thinking of what you're going to have for dinner that day, presumably. No. So, like, what's actually going through your head at that moment?
The funny thing about drifting, and I'm sure all motorsport is like this, is you could think about a million things before it happens. But when you're in the moment, you don't think of anything else.
Right.
You just think about how you're going to win. And you just have to stay as focused. If you lose focus for 1 second, the battle's over and you've lost. So for them 30 seconds, although it's a short space of time, you have to literally give it 100% of your focus. And if you lose it for a second, as I said, it's all over. So it takes a lot of thinking, and you have to be very smart as well. Like, some people might think that you just have to give it everything, but that's not necessarily how you win all the time. You have to be smart in places and find the fellow you're against weaknesses and kind of play your advantage that way.
I'd imagine that, like, there are G-forces involved here as well. Because when you come, I've been at the Mandela Park circuit a couple of times, and I presume it's the same setup where you go down to the first corner and you have a bit of time to build up the speed,
yeah,
and you hit the G-forces there. And there's other places, obviously, on the circuit where you can do that as well. But Is that a factor as well? Because obviously when you're going through the corner, as you said, it's almost like a ballet dance, but you do build up those G-forces and you get the speed going as well.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely gets really fast at this level because there's different tyres to a national level. So it's even like faster again, like maybe 20 kilometres faster. And I remember for my first year, I had you have a spotter in drifting and he tells you what you're doing. And I'd done a run and I thought, geez, that was very fast. And then he tells me over the radio, he's like, that wasn't fast at all. You need to go way faster.
Right.
So you're constantly fighting yourself to go that extra 10 kilometres faster and push yourself outside your boundaries that you're comfortable with.
A spotter goes in the, what we would call the passenger seat, I suppose.
No, it's...
Or a spotter is back
stand.
In.
So
right,
they're actually watching from the outside.
Yeah.
So do you have anyone in the car? You don't have anyone in the car with you when you're actually doing the run? I suppose you have to say
it's a bit like in Formula 1. They're the guys on the pit wall.
Yeah.
Saying how you're doing, they can monitor the car, they see how your run is going, they're giving you advice.
So the cars are essentially ripped apart.
Yeah.
Every last ram is taken out.
A lot of people watching this will not know what drifting is, but I'll just make it easier for people to understand. So we run cars that have more horsepower than a Bugatti Veyron, that weigh the same as an old Nissan Micra. And the guy beside me is only allowed to drive a 1 litre Polo on the road because he's 17. So, and these cars are completely built to do what they do, but it's also not a natural thing for a car to do is slide. You'll see it on Top Gear, you'll see cars sliding around the corner. We're controlling that at high speeds with a huge amount of grip. So it might make more sense to have less grip and make more smoke, but we're putting so much grip in it because we want to be fast while we're doing, not just stay in the one place burning the tires. Mm. So you're actually doing a lot of things with the car that are very unnatural. And the driver is the only way it happens, because the car itself, in many ways, the pro ones don't want to drift, and you've got to make them go to that point. So it's a buzz when you can control the uncontrollable to a certain extent.
Mm.
And when you watch it and see two people do it at the same time, you know, inches from each other in a competitive battle, it's something that you'll never forget when you see it. And that's what happened to me when I went through a conventional life of leaving cert and college, and I just got invited to a drift event one day and I just saw it and that was it. I was like, what is this? There's nothing I've ever seen that entertaining. And then, you know, 15 years later, I made it my entire career, because it encapsulates you. It's fun, it's exciting, but there's something about it that's not like any other motorsport when it comes to that adrenaline that you feel watching it as well as it. Because Formula One is amazing. It's had a huge amount of popularity. And now drifting has a similar amount with, not similar, but a similar growth a couple of years later. Mm. But it's one of those things where when you understand it, it's actually kind of mental that it's actually a thing that exists, especially when it's so dangerous. It's so high stakes that it's almost something like, you know, UFC coming along kind of overshadowed boxing because there was a lot more going on.
Yeah.
This is kind of what drifting is to regular motorsport, in my opinion.
And where are interest levels at in Ireland compared to, say, the Eastern European countries or even in America? I know where James has gone over to. Like, is it on a massive upward trajectory at the minute in Ireland, or where are we at?
Yeah, massively. We've had some very big events that, thankfully, I've taken a couple of risks with big events over the years, mm-hmm. and we've had 25,000 people at Mondello Park, you know, sold out to a certain extent. The venue couldn't take any more. It depends on the stakes. I mean, Irish people are they're aware of drifting if they're into it. And now it's the stakes. So Driftmasters is the highest stakes. You know, it's the same as any, let's say, a GA match. You're going to have a final, grab a lot more people than a league match. So when it comes to the higher stakes of any motorsport, and I don't know if you're the same as me, you get a little bit more interested, even if you're not that interested in the sport. So when Driftmasters comes to town, and we know our best are against the best in the world, and it's all happening in Ireland, which very rarely the top level of a sport comes to Ireland and actually competes. And you know there's going to be, you know, a million people watching this from all over the world. I think the Irish fans come out in force to support it, but also show that we're some of the best fans in the world. We're very passionate about it. So it's an amazing event. We've done a lot of big ones over the years, but Ireland is always special because it's an underdog country for this. You know, we don't have the population of Poland or America or all these different places, and we still have a huge fan base that come to it. So we're very proud of that, especially when we only have one racetrack, international grade racetrack in the country, which is Mondello. Mm. How we've managed to do this when other countries have so much more resources is a credit to Irish people. And I always say, Irish people like a sport that we're good at, so they always come along and support.
Exactly, 100%. I'm sure a lot of people listening in today are probably thinking, well, this sounds like something I'd love to get involved in, especially when there's Irish people like yourself, James, you know, competing at the very, very top level. Mondello Park it is the mecca of Irish motorsport, really. I don't know, when I've done interviews over the years with different people, even Tommy Byrne, you know, who often spoke very... and speaks very eloquently about what Mondello Park means. Like, what does it mean as a venue? Because for a lot of people, it's just that race and track that they've heard of in County Kildare, but it's so much more than that, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's special, especially for us Irish people. Some of the biggest events I've ever experienced in Europe have been in Mondello Park. The atmosphere creates with the grandstand and the way it's set up. Like when Dave used to be announcing and he would pump up the crowd right before top 16 driver introductions, and you play the national anthem, you're at home, you feel the energy from the crowd when the national anthem stops playing, everyone is banging the chairs with their feet and stuff, and it's just an energy. It's a special place. And also, I've been driving there since I was 15 years old, so a long time going to Mondello Park. And we do the drift bashes there, you know, practicing with your friends, having fun. We've had parties there. We've just had some great moments in Mondello Park. It's definitely a special place for not only me, but many Irish drivers.
When Conor was describing what's going through your head when you're, when you're actually engaged and you're in the car, at your stage now, are there still nerves, butterflies? Because you look at other sports and often sometimes people say that the 17 and 18 year olds are, even though they're rookies, they're the least nervous because it's the abandonment of youth and they're maybe not thinking about
things as much.
Not that you've got more nervous over the years, but you're more aware of what you're doing over the years.
Yeah, and I'm more aware of how it can go wrong too. So like in America, I've had fires, I've had crashes, I've broken collarbone, like, you know, issues like that. So I know that it can, if it goes wrong, it can be painful or expensive. But there is nerves, definitely. And I would say my nerves have probably been the same since I started. Maybe when I was younger, I wasn't really aware of, you know, what could go wrong and how quickly it could go wrong. Mm. So maybe there's a bit more of that. But in general, I still get the same kind of pre-event nerves before we're about to go. But as soon as you pull up to the line, you have a deep breath, you talk to your spotter on the radio, you're like, okay, full focus, you forget about everything and just send it.
The spotter keeps an eye on... He's obviously keeping a close eye on your track.
Yeah, so
run.
The spotter will be very close to where the judges are.
Right.
So they'll have a bird's eye view, basically very similar to what the judges are looking, where they're looking from. They obviously have screens and computers and different camera angles as well to see different areas of the track. But a spotter is making sure that you as a driver are doing exactly what the judges have asked us to do in a driver's meeting. So they're very specific about where we're on the track, how much angle we have, so meaning how sideways the car is, where we have speed, where we slow down. It's very, very specific of how they want us to drive as a lead driver, because what they want is the closest battles possible. So if the lead driver is very stable, doing everything he's supposed to be doing, slowing down when he's supposed to be, speeding up when he's supposed to be, that means the chase driver can predict what the lead driver is going to do, and the cars can go way closer to each other, meaning it's way more exciting for the fans to watch.
Dave, the safety aspect of it, like, you know, as Jim says, you know, you can have fires and broken collarbones and accidents and all the rest. And just thinking of even Formula One, remember a few years ago when Romain Grosjean had that crash, and I think it was in Bahrain, and obviously the Halo device was fairly new in recent years at Formula One, probably saved his life that day. Are there safety?
Yeah, I mean, the cars are pretty much like WRC rally cars. So you have a full roll cage, you have a hands device, which is essentially something that clips onto your helmet that doesn't allow your neck to go forward at an impact. We're strapped in with all of our, we've got plumbed in fire extinguishers. It means that if there's a fire in the car, we press a button and it basically fires extinguisher in the engine bay, the footwell, everything.
Right.
Drifting has a very good record for safety. There's a number one reason is that at any one time on the track, there's only two cars competing.
Mm.
So if something happens, everybody can rush there quickly. Biggest problem you have in regular motorsport is you've still got cars driving around at 180 miles an hour in Formula One. You can't run to the accident to have it. So it's in many ways, it's a little bit safer. In terms, I would say, I always said about drifting, there's a lot more crashes, but they're a lot safer. So basically, there's a crash almost every 30 seconds to a minute. If you were to put it on the road, you would be having fairly high-end collisions all the time. But they're normal in drifting, and the cars are modular, so they're there to take impacts at the front and rear to a certain extent from the walls or other competitors. But serious crashes are things that happen. I mean, I hit a wall in Finland last weekend. I crashed into the wall. That's what I do. And trying to get a really high score to get up there where James and the guys are. And, you know, I was fine. There was no major issues. The car was fine. So they're built quite modular. The suspension, everything is built to be removed. They have got bars on them that you remove from a crash and put it back on. They're a bit like Lego sometimes. They kind of go back together. And by the end of the season, they're good, you know, 50-footers. Because when you get up close to the cars, they've had a lot of screws and paint and bits thrown at them to keep them looking respectable. But it's a relatively, as I said, it's all the bits from motorsport that you like watching. You don't mind seeing a car smash a bumper or, you know, bend a wheel or, you know, put a load of smoke out. That's entertaining.
Mm.
You don't want to see anybody get hurt. You don't want to see anybody have a big accident. And drifting is kind of, in one way, you know, thankfully, James, I think, has had one of the worst where he was almost on his roof in a wall in America. But there's been a lot of different things where it's almost a freak accident if it's bigger than a regular bump along the track.
How does it differ in America then? It's just a different series, obviously, but it's essentially the same.
Different series, different tracks, so different style kind of events. Like, they have a lot of circle tracks in America, so like the oval tracks, like mini NASCAR tracks, so we go to a lot of those. We also compete in Long Beach in LA, so it's like the same track they run the IndyCar race at, and downtown Long Beach, like the beach is there, the track is here, all the buildings are there. We're drifting through the streets from 7 a.m. till the event finishes at 6 p.m. that night, and just amazing atmospheres. You know, like I always say that event is like the Monaco of drifting, because it's just unbelievable. Like 25,000 fans every single year, and it's different. I guess there's America, they do things bigger and better in some ways, and there's more funding from the sponsors commercially, like Ford are involved, Toyota are involved. There's a lot of different tire companies involved, supporting many different drivers. So I feel like if you can make it in America, you have a better chance of making it a career.
Okay.
So that's where, you know, when I was probably 16, I went to my first American event and competed there, and I'm like, okay, this is way bigger. I think this is where I need to set my sights for. And I went back to Europe and focused on my craft for a few years, won a few Irish championships and European ones, and then we went back to the US with a new team, and a teammate from Poland, Peter Wiencek, two of us went over there with cars that we built in our own workshops, and I managed to win the first race and then won the championship for the next 3 years. And
you take that.
It was
just casually won.
He did a bit of a
next.
Man City on it there for a while.
Yeah. Dublin GAA or something. Yeah.
It just changed everything, you know. And dream stuff.
Yeah, that is dream stuff. Are you on the road yet? The regular roads, Connor?
Yeah,
you got the driving license?
Passed my test 3 weeks ago.
Right, today, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was the most nervous I've ever been.
You're used to it from qualifying.
Yeah.
Did you pass first time?
I did. Fair play. Thank God. If I didn't, I would have never lived it down.
In fairness, though, you'd say it's probably quite tough because you're coming at it from a different angle.
Yeah, I had a lot of bad habits, like not...
Drifting would be considered wrong on the regular primary roads of the country.
Yeah, definitely. But like stuff like not checking in my mirrors.
Yeah.
Like in drifting, you never look behind you to see what's happening. You just focus on what you're doing. So when I was getting driving lessons and stuff, my instructor was like, Connor, you have to look in your mirrors. Like, I couldn't grasp looking in the mirrors. So I never would have been used to it.
Yeah. What car do you drive on the regular?
A 1 litre Polo.
1 litre. I thought that was a joke.
No, that's serious.
Enough. Yeah. No, that's fair enough. Has to be done.
Yeah.
And he had to get a lift with James up here today.
Because incredible.
Dad said to me, he doesn't trust him driving around Dublin City Centre. He trusts him to throw the car at 80 miles an hour sideways in front of 50,000 people. But driving Dublin City Centre, that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah. There's no traffic lights in the drift either.
No.
So what are the ambitions, Connor, for the next? I guess 2-3 years. What's the plan?
Would to be following James's footsteps and just everything James has done. Try do the same and just keep working hard and give him my best shot. And the people around me give me every opportunity to do my best. So I'm just gonna keep working hard and so on everyone else, and we'll see where it takes us.
Well, listen, lads, it's been brilliant chatting to you. In studio today. Man. I'm looking forward to heading down to Mondello on the Friday, the day before I think it all kicks off. I'll be in the car hopefully with one or two of you lads. I'll bring the camera.
It'll either be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see what happens. We'll see if there's any walls hit. But look, it's going to be incredible, and I'd encourage anyone to get down and look at it. So lads, it's been an absolute pleasure. Dave Egan, Connor Falvey.
Thank you for having us.
James Dean, thanks a million for
appreciate it,
coming
man.
In.
Thank
much
you.
Appreciate it, lads. Just to remind people as well, it is Europe's wildest motorsport event, Drift Masters, coming to Mondello Park on June 28th and 29th in a couple of weeks, where 42 of the world's top drivers will go head-to-head. The weekend is all about qualifying, grids, grandstands and podium places. Those tickets that I said, general admission, €35 per day, grandstand tickets, €55 per day, and VIP weekend for €175, which includes loads, those general admission tickets for both days, VIP grandstand, access to the paddock, refreshments as well. Go to mondellopark.ie for tickets, and there's also a coach going to and from Nace and Salins to the event. Also tickets for that on mondellopark.ie as well. And keep an eye on Off The Ball's social channels, as we'll be giving away tickets to the weekend events, which are not to be missed. Really enjoy that chat, lads. Fair play for coming in. Much appreciated. Up next here on Off The Ball, Saturday News Talk. We'll have Football Saturday after 3 o'clock with David Connolly and Owen Doyle. But Tommy Rooney is going to discuss the weekend's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship fixtures here next.
Off the ball breakfast.
Your projection now around this conversation.
No, not projecting. I'm fascinated by you as it is. I'm even more interested in you in terms of this topic.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.